All right. How we doing? What's that? This is the one on the phone, yes. Did you turn on that one? Yep. There we are. Amen. All right, so yes, this is the one that if you asked for a copy of it, I might have emailed you or text you a copy or whatever. So here we are. What? Turn channel one off, please. We are on page number 390 in the Landmarks of Baptist Doctrine, looking at continuing in lecture one on the doctrine of man or anthropology. So this is our Wednesday night Bible study. We are looking at the doctrine of man. So, if you have the book, or you have it on your phone, or you have it on your iPad, or you have it on some, first of all, make sure that that device is silenced. Just double check here. And it's not. So now it is. Make sure that device is silenced. And then also make sure maybe it's on do not disturb mode, because we're good. Because you don't want to be distracted with a text message or a Facebook message or a Facebook post or something like that while you're doing the Bible study. So there you go. So, but don't forget to turn it off of do not disturb and silence and all of that after the service, so that people can get a hold of you after service. So we're looking at letter E here. I'm going to give a real quick recap of what we've talked about so far. We're looking here. This lecture is about the creation of man. We've looked at the fact of man's creation. We've looked at the actuality of man's creation under that, the act of man's creation, and the aspiration of man's creation. Then, right now, we're looking at the fallacy of man's evolution. We looked at the defining the theory of evolution, the branches of evolutionary thought. We looked at the biblical creationism and evolution compared. We looked at the effects of the theory of evolution, and now we're looking at the failure of the theory of evolution. So, Thomas Huxley wrote, "There is nothing more tragic than the murder of a beautiful theory by an ugly fact." And nothing is more surprising than the way in which a theory will continue to live after its brains have been knocked out. Is that not interesting? Today, more and more scientists are moving away from the theories or hypotheses of evolution for the simple fact that they cannot be proven. The evidence has not come in. First of all, there is no evidence for any transmutation of species. There is no evidence for any transmutation of species. There is no evidence that shows a, quote, missing link between monkey and man. No evidence. Evolution is not an established scientific reality. It is a belief. It is a system of faith. Fact. That's what it is. It is a fact that that's what it is, a system of faith. No one was present at the beginning of time. Remember, we already talked about this. No person was present before God made man. So it takes faith to believe in a special, direct, supernatural creation by God, just as much as it takes faith to believe in a random natural selection process. The real question is, which is more credible, the Bible or so-called science, or science falsely so-called? The theory of evolution contradicts two well-established, demonstrable scientific facts. Want to know what they are? If you're looking at your book, you already do, but the first one is the first law of thermodynamics. The law of Mass Energy Conservation states that nothing is now being created or annihilated. The second law of thermodynamics is the law of entropy, stating that all systems tend to become disordered and simple. In other words, everything decays. Fact. These are demonstrable and proven facts. That's why they are considered to be laws of science. That's why they're considered to be laws of nature. The first and second law of thermodynamics. These are considered to be facts as they have been proven to be true. And the theory of evolution contradicts both of those facts. In fact, the whole concept of evolution is, oh, everything's getting better, everything's getting better, everything's evolving and getting better. But in fact, there's a law of our reality that has been proven over and over and over again that everything doesn't get better, it gets worse. Nothing tends to evolve, it tends to entropy. Devolve, if you will. The scientific, quote, evidence for evolution is based upon a preconceived model and relies heavily on the radiometric dating methods used to determine the age of strata and fossils, radiocarbon, potassium, argon, etc., which measure radioactive decay. Interesting. Although couched in very scientific terms, these methods are subject to are subjective frauds. In simple terms, the meters are calibrated by measuring rocks of, quote, known, end quote, prehistoric age, so that the meters that can measure the age, or rather, so that the meters then can measure the age of the rocks. Did you hear what I just said? Yes. The meters are calibrated by measuring rocks of known prehistoric age so that the meters can measure the age of the rocks. There you go. There's a whole lot more on this subject. That's just a real simple, hey, here's some stuff to chew on. We're going to move on to the next point here, attempts to harmonize science and the Bible. We're going to look at some of those attempts, and we've kind of already discussed why they're not correct, but many evangelical scholars who claim to believe in the inspiration of the Word of God and accept the integrity of the Genesis record. They find themselves in a dilemma because they also accept the old age of Earth claims as scientific fact. Okay, so that they're going to find themselves in a dilemma because they don't line up together. If the fossil record places man back several millions of years, how can the Genesis account be made to fit the facts, if those are the facts? How? Especially since we have specific lifespans and times and all of those things given in the Bible, genealogies that tell us how long these people lived and all of that. There are two theories put forward to answer this problem. Theory number one, the old earth, old Adam theory. They say, yes, God did create man, but over the long periods of time represented by the geological ages. There's a whole other discussion on geologic columns and all of that. That's the flood answers all that anyways. But This is very close to theistic evolution. Bernard Rahm supposed this kind of approach, or proposed this kind of approach. He says creation was revealed in 6 days, not performed in 6 days. Says that creation was progressive and guided by natural law. I don't know. You go to your Bible, you open the book of Genesis, and you look at what God said. Yeah. No, it is an attempt to reconcile the Bible and evolutionary thought. Because if you open the Bible and you read what it says, he says, "Let there be light," and there was light. This is not a revelation of the creation. This is not only the revelation of the creation, but it is also the performance of the creation. Right. He actually performed it. When he divided the light from the darkness, he actually performed it. Then he gives us specific time frames. The evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. I think we tend to argue with the one who was there and knows how it all happened, like we were there and we knew how it all happened. It's kind of like somebody hearing gossip about something and then arguing with someone who was there. Right? Do we accept that today? You say, well, wait a minute. Brother Brian tells me about something that Brother Jim did. And I say, wow, man, how'd you know that happened? He said, well, Brother Don told me. Okay. How's Brother Don know? Well, he heard it from Brother John. Oh, well, how does he know? Well, he heard it from Carl. Well, how did Carl know? Well, Carl heard it from Eric.
He heard it from his barber.
Yeah. Right. Well, wait a minute. And I say, Eric, what happened? He said, I don't know. I wasn't there. I say, CD, what happened? And CD tells me what happens. And then Brian argues with CD about, no, that's not what happened. I have it on good source that this is what happened. But CD was there. Right? And so was Brother Rob. They were both there. And their testimonies agree, but don't agree with yours. Now, come on, let's not argue about a hypothetical. Start a fight over here. But you get the analogy?
Yeah.
He was there, and he was the one that did it. God was there. He did it. And we're going to argue with him about it? Because we heard from somebody else who wasn't there that they thought it happened this way. It's like a bunch of gossips. Well, I think it happened this way, and I tried, you know, I bred fruit flies for 10 years, and so I stared at these little things, and I could see that they were changing. I don't know, you stare at fruit flies for very long, and you're going to go cross-eyed. And everything's going to change because that's just the way it's going to be. And so, yeah, because the fruit flies changed, man came from a monkey. There you go. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So don't get me wrong. There is such a thing as microevolution. You know, God made his creation to adapt to various environments. That's just the way it is. But because there's microevolution does not mean that there is macroevolution. Just because there's adaptations to environments and adaptations to to various environmental risks and things and all of that does not mean that everything that a particular kind has, it has because of those adaptations. Some things were just made the way that they were made. And some things adapted. And some things are bred to adapt, right? We have how many breeds of dogs? A bunch. Why? Because somebody thought, hey, I think it would be cool for a dog to have short legs and a long nose. I think it would be cool for a dog to be able to smell, you know, this or that. And so they would take certain particular aspects of an animal and mix it with another animal that has, and so that it, they would be bred into a certain you know, like what's that?
Combination.
There you go. Combination's a good word for it. What do they call it for dogs? It's a breed, right? Yeah. So they would have a particular breed. Why? Because it was bred that way. And how did that happen? Over millions of years by chance. No, someone with intelligence interfered in the natural process and made it happen, right? So anyhow, we have an intelligent God who created all things. He was there. He knows what happened. Why argue with him? So number two here, the other one is the old earth, recent Adam theory, accepting the obvious, saying that Adam is of much recent time, according to the biblical account. Those who hold this view say the earth indeed is very old, but that the creation of Adam was recent. The humanoid, quote-unquote humanoid fossils dated by scientists to be millions of years old then must represent some pre-Adamic creature with only animal intelligence. This is their theory. Something like that. Yeah, so these old fossils would include the Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal, quote-unquote, creatures who made cave paintings, manufactured tools, buried their dead, yet they were non-human, according to them. One question is, if death resulted from Adam's sin, why did all this pre-Adamic life die? You have to reject Genesis 3 to believe that. These views stem from the ready acceptance of the quote-unquote vast geological ages theory and the dating methods for determining the age of fossils. A lot of issues there. Now, we haven't even really, we mentioned the day age theory. We didn't really mention the gap theory. I mean, we mentioned it, but it wasn't really mentioned in the book. Concept of a gap theory is that, hey, everything in Genesis happened the way that it happened, the way that it's said to have happened, but they put a gap between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and they can insert into that gap billions of years. The problem with the gap theory is they also have death during the gap. They have chaos, and they have the life and death and all of this of angels and all of these different things. And they, you can throw, hey, you put a gap somewhere, you can throw all kinds of stuff in the gap, right? Yeah. And think about that hole in the sanctuary floor over the new building. And we dug all kinds of nasty stuff out of that hole. I mean, I just thought it was dirt down there. No, there was trash and there was like dishes and all kinds of stuff down in that little hole. It's amazing what people can throw into a gap, right? This is what we find when you try to do things like that. And hey, if you can start by throwing a gap in between the first two verses of the Bible, what's wrong with throwing a gap in between every other verse of the Bible too? And reading between the lines. And hey, now we need to find Bible codes, and we can find lost information or hidden information in the Bible. Now, you know what? Most people trying to find hidden information in the Bible can't find the information that's right staring them in the face. Maybe. That's exactly right. Maybe instead of looking for the mysteries, maybe we should just try to understand what God wants us to know. Leave the mysteries up to Him. Yes, sir.
So when they say the giants,
That's another topic. That's not evolution. Genesis chapter 6 is what you're talking about. I would say what you read in Genesis chapter 6 is true. Yes, what you read in Genesis chapter 6 is true. Now, I would say you need to read it because maybe what you're saying is correct, and maybe it's saying something different than what you're saying. So that's another discussion for another time. So the giants, yes, giants, absolutely, there were giants.
Yeah.
Yep. And they're trying to make a comeback, but they keep getting beat. I'm not a big sports fan, so I can't really say. I don't know how the Giants did this year or last year or whatever. I don't even know where they're from. Is it New York? Okay. So, so the Bible answer to human evolution. Yeah, in chapter six, yeah, verse 4. Yep. I would agree, generally speaking, with what you're saying there, but I'd say that is slightly different topic. Although there is a little bit of discussion, I believe, in this, in our study, where we would differ from the material that's there, but that's another. That's another discussion for another time. So we'll get into that, I think, when we talk about angels and things. So, sir?
Do we know if does the Bible tell us if they were like 20 feet high?
Not those giants. The Bible tells us how tall some of the other giants were after the flood, after the, during the time of Israel's raids, so to speak. Like, when they're coming into the promised land, and they're wandering, so that there were giants. There was Og, the king of Bashan, and there was who was the other guy?
Tells
how tall he was, Goliath. Yeah, talks about their spear staff as a weaver's beam. Talks about their bed size, like, oh, his bed was like 10 feet long, and or whatever. But so. You can find some sizes, some measurements or whatever of some of them, but I tend to find that the reason that we don't know some of those things is because it's not important. But so the Bible answer to human evolution, the Bible expressly declares the following facts. First of all, and we're going to try to get through this real quick here, probably in the next 10 minutes, hopefully. First of all, man was created. He did not evolve. Genesis 1:27. What does God say? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Did not evolve. Genesis 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Chapter 6, verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So who made man? God did. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. verse number 32. Deuteronomy 4:32, he says, "For ask now of the days that are past, before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the other side of the heaven unto the other, from one side of the heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it." Now, there's a greater context, but recognize here, again, God created man. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse number 7. He says, "Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Look at verse number 12. "I have declared, and have saved, and have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." God made man. Malachi 2. Malachi chapter 2. Verse number 10. "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" How'd man come to be? God made him. God created him. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse number 9. "Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." But that's still placing us as being created, right?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Number 2. Only one man was created. Only one. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. Verse number 6. That's not it. Well, wrong verse. 24. Is it 24? Mm-hmm. 26. That works. Okay, yeah, that would make sense. Okay, so Acts 17:26. This is talking of God making things. "He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." That would not give us specifically what we're looking for, although it tells us that it's of one blood, that man was made of one blood. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. Let's look there real quick. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 45. He says, "And so it is written, the first man was made a living soul." I'm sorry, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. "The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. Verse number 4. "He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" How many men? One. Man and animals were created separately. Separately. Same day, but separately. God didn't make man like the animals. Or from them. We were made separately. Batteries not included. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth on the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And so God made all those animals, listed them together, right? That's a bunch of different animals, by the way. Think about all that are included in that list. The living creature, cattle, creeping thing, beast of the earth. Name some stuff. Elephants, dogs, cats, rhinoceros, what? Dolphins? Nope, dolphins would be in a different list. Ants? What'd you say? Monkeys? Squirrels? Huh? Llama? The birds would be a different day. Birds and the sea creatures were on a different day. It's the day before. What else? Crocodiles. I don't know. Crocodiles are probably on the sea creature day. Lions. Tigers and bears. Oh my. Yeah. What else? No, that's a bird. Yep. Giraffes, zebras.
Chinchilla.
Cats. We already said cats. Right. Dinosaurs. Right. The land dinosaurs would be that day. Right. Pigs. Kangaroo. Yeah, kangaroo. What? The sea? That was day five. Day five was all the sea and air creatures. Don't think it exists. I'm just kidding. What? Dolphins? No, that was day five. Yep. But the Miami Dolphins? No. Back to sports. Why do people do that? What's that? Okay. Let's stick with real life creatures, okay? So, kangaroos he already mentioned. So, a lot of stuff, right? That's a lot of stuff. We didn't name very many creeping things. He mentioned the ant.
Snakes.
Beetles. What? Kids? No, that's later. That's later. God let us make them later. Spiders, yeah.
Bunnies.
What else? Stink bugs. Scorpions. Mosquitoes. But the question is, are mosquitoes considered creeping things or are they considered foul? They fly. I'd say that they're creepy. Yeah, they creep. They just have wings.
Snake?
Locusts, platypus. Those were created later that day. Actually, no, those were created a few years later. You had to have kids. You had to have brothers and sisters to have aunts and uncles. Yeah. So, anyhow, we did all of that to say what? All those creatures made that day. And then he lists those, right? Beasts of the field, you got cows and, you know, deer and all that kind of stuff, right? Horses and, yeah. But actually, he lists the cattle and beasts separately, right? Might be your bears and your tigers and your lions and your predatory type, yeah. So, right, no, there weren't any predators back then. They had sharp teeth. Why? That's right. so that they could have a beautiful smile. No, they had sharp teeth because they eat stuff, right? They say, oh, because they eat meat? No. Let me ask you this. What's the panda bear eat?
Bamboo.
Steak, right? No, bamboo and leaves. Yeah. Why do they have sharp teeth? Because they like to eat steak and meat, and they feed on baby animals and stuff. No, they eat vegetation. There's a good example of a vegetarian with sharp teeth. With like, you know, the what do bears generally eat? Yeah, they eat fish, but they can eat the other stuff too. You know, all those animals can eat the other stuff. And they all did. They were created to eat the herb of the field, you know, the leaves and the vegetation and all that stuff. So anyhow, all of that. But then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Man was made separately. Right? So he made all the little creatures, and then he said, man sold separately. Not sold, but made separately.
He wasn't first?
No. Man was the last thing made. Actually, woman was the last creature made.
Sure.
So, yes.
So what would be an example of
beasts? Well, as we said, like the big beasts, you know. I would say dinosaurs would fit the beast category. I would say bears, a leopard, yeah, your big
tiger,
big beast things, right? What else? Let's go on here. Number four. We gotta keep moving because we're done. So number four, animals were created to reproduce after their kind, right? They weren't made to make other things. They were made to reproduce after their kind. Verse number 21 of Genesis 1, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse number 24, as we've already read, right? 24 and 25, he makes all of these things, right? After his kind. And it was so. All of these things take place, right? And the cattle and the creeping thing and all of this after his kind, right? plants were made to reproduce and bear fruit after their kind, right? Now, can you make hybrids of some things? Sure, but aren't they kind of the same kind? Generally speaking, now, yeah, there's genetically modifying and all of that. You know, like, anybody ever have cotton candy grapes? Yeah, yeah. Those are genetically modified. They weren't bred to be that way. So, anybody ever have, what are some other things that they do that with? What? Oh, yeah, corn's, like, been the most modified stuff ever. But, like, you... What? Well, sometimes now you can get some fruit trees. Now, fruit is one kind of vegetation, right? And then you have vegetables, right? But some fruit trees you can mix, right? You can mix all different kinds of apples, you know, and you can mix some other things as well. But they're made to reproduce after their kind. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed is in itself was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Y'all know how you differentiate between a fruit and a vegetable? Where are the seeds? If the seeds are inside, it's fruit. If they're outside, it's vegetable.
How come they aren't yielding?
Because the seed's inside. Seed's inside, that makes it a fruit. They say it's fruit. Tomatoes, fruit. Yeah. We said dogs, same thing. Same kind. What? Oh, yeah, yeah. People have done that, right? So God did give us within the creation some variance to maybe work with things and, you know, hey, I'm not like for GMO, like I don't think it's like real good for you, but I think God allowed us to do that, you know. Now, does that mean like, hey, it's the best thing and all, you know, that's another discussion, but did God give us when he said to rule over the earth and take dominion over it? I think he gave us the allowance to change things a little bit, make things work for us, you know. Otherwise, if you start making that argument that everything just has to be in its natural state, then don't build houses. Oh, yeah, that's a whole other, yeah. You can run both directions with that thing in the wrong way, but, I don't think, like, cloning and stuff is okay, just understand that. Although I did talk about it would be nice to be able to have a couple of me, you know, so that I can get more things done. So, but the way that we do that is it's called discipleship, right? You train people to do the things that you do. So we need to get on that. So let's keep on going here. So the nature of man differs from that of animals. We'll talk about that in the next lecture. But man has God consciousness. We'll talk about that in the next lecture. Number seven, a worldwide flood accounts for the fossil record. And this is the last point for today. Worldwide flood accounts for the fossil record. Noah's flood covered the whole earth. It was not localized. It was the whole earth. Go to Genesis chapter 6. You're close. You're just down the street. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 19. It says, "And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of creeping thing, of the earth after his kind, two of every sort. Shall come unto thee to keep them alive." Now let me ask you this. How many does that leave left over? A whole bunch. Means everything else died. "And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Well, that's strange. He says to read all the way to verse 24. There's only 22 verses in that chapter. Oops. So, I think there's a couple typos in this. So, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Almost done here. Yeah. Maybe he meant to read all the way to chapter 7, verse 24. We're not going to do that today, though. But the idea is a lot of stuff died in the flood, right? Maybe he just meant chapter 6, chapter 7, verse chapter 6. Real quick, though, since I'm here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 6. It says, "Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." Everything died. Everything except for the stuff that didn't die. The stuff that was on the ark that didn't die. Right? Everything else did. And because it did, what happens when something dies? All kinds of stuff. It depends on the circumstances, right? If it's crushed into a dirt pocket, it becomes oil. If it's not crushed, but it's held in a dirt pocket, it becomes a fossil. If it is left out in the open, usually it completely ceases to exist. Although the molecules, they get put into other things, right? Bugs eat it, stuff like that. It decays and it goes away. It's designed, God designed every living creature to go back to dust and just be part of the earth again, right? But as far as the physical side of things. But with the flood, a lot of stuff was trapped. And because it was trapped, we have fossils. Because stuff was pressed against it with a lot of weight and a lot of water on top of the dirt and all that, what happens? That dirt hardens, it becomes stone, and that stone now has the impression of that creature, right? All over the world. What do you say?
So there was fish and whales and things like that that were actually in the water.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All in whose nostrils is the breath of life. Every breathing creature died. All the ones that breathe, that live outside the water, died. All the ones in the water were fine, for the most part. So, read this here. It says, such a universal catastrophic event not only accounts for the fossil record, but also for the geological strata or sediment, and features such as the Grand Canyon in Arizona. The true geological record clearly indicates a sudden, devastating event. The theory of vast geological ages is a scientific fraud. But if you repeat a lie often enough and long enough, it will eventually be accepted as fact. So, this being said, think about it. Why would there be similar creatures in a lair together? What do creatures usually do? They say birds of a feather flock together, right? Those similar creatures are together. And when the flood comes, they die together. So they're in a place together, right? So similar creatures will be in similar areas of the world, right? Certain creatures like heat more. Certain creatures like cool more. Certain creatures like wet more. Certain creatures like dry more. And so you find them all in a similar area, right? And then depending on how much they weigh and when they got covered, and what happened with the water after they got covered. Because, you know, when you have water moving dirt over top of stuff, and then water goes back another way, and it pulls dirt off of that, and it might mix something together, and it may not be exact, right? Yes?
All the aqua animals, did they not die in the flood?
Right. Not all of them did. I'm sure that there were some aquatic life that died during the flood. I'm sure. Or during the dry out, yeah, because they ended up in the wrong place when things were drying out and didn't make it, right? So, what's that? Well, after the flood was over and the waters descended, you know, you might have had a whale in the middle of the mountain range. Now, where's it going to go, you know? Yeah, there's seashells in the Rockies. How'd they get there? Oh, it rained real bad one day. Yep, about 3,500 years ago, it rained real bad and flooded, and those seashells that were on the seashore ended up in the mountains. And Sally sold them, right? Yeah, oh yeah, a whole bunch of stuff, right? So we'll talk about human life next week, Lord willing. But let's go ahead and pray. And actually, before we pray, sure.
One thing they talk about Christian faith and all that, it takes more faith to be an atheist. And I wanted to say, too, that when people don't believe God, he allows them to believe anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot of faith to be an evolutionist. It does. It does. I won't knock them for their faith. I mean, they believe in a lie, but what's that? Yeah. Yeah. So, yes. So let's think of application real quick before we go on, because we're going to have an altar call after talking about all this stuff, and you need to have a way to apply these things, right? How do you apply this to your life? How can you apply these things to your life? What does this mean for you? Let me take you back to Genesis and make you think just for a moment. We talked about a lot of dead stuff. You know, there's death because there's sin. That's why it all happened when man sinned in the garden, and then we choose to sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we can rejoice in that life and spread that life. So if the creation does nothing else for you, it should point you to the Savior for salvation. And it should also point you to the lost world, knowing that they're going to die someday and they're going to face eternal judgment because of their sin if they don't believe. So what are you going to do about it? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.